that is passed into the heavens. And you don't have to speculate and wonder who he's talking about. He said, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. So verse 14, he lays out this profound truth about having a high priest in the heavenlies, and then you don't have to speculate who it is because he refers that to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now somebody said one time, they said, well, temptation is sin. That is not sin. To be tempted is not sin. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for how many days? 40 days. He overcome by the Word of God. You and I ought to do the same thing, but when we give in to that temptation, that's where sin comes in. Jesus was tempted like you and I are, yet one fundamental difference, we give in to those temptations, he never did. He was without sin. As a matter of fact, he had to be perfect, he had to be blameless, he had to be spotless to be that perfect sacrifice. And notice what he goes on to say, verse 16, let us, because of that fact, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It lets us know we can have confidence in our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's been touched with all the infirmities like we are. You study the scripture, we know that he understood what it was like to be thirsty. He knew what it was like to be tired. He knew what it was like to be misunderstood and also heartbroken. He knew what it was like to be grieved and have tears shed. You read John chapter 11, verse number 35, where Jesus wept there at the grave of Lazarus. He experienced all those things, yet without sin. And you and I can have confidence that we can come in our time of need, because here's the reality, every one of us are needy people. Every one of us are. Now, you might be doing pretty good today. Well, you just wait. If you live, tomorrow's coming, or the next day, or the next week, or the next month, or the next year. There's going to come a day when you're going to have a time of need, but we can come with confidence to the throne of grace, knowing we've got a high priest that's in the heavenlies that's walked every facet of life that we faced. He came through it blemish-free, died for our sin, and we can bring those petitions unto him. That ought to bless us tonight. That ought to help us tonight. But as we look at this, I want to focus in on what is the high priest? What was the priestly ministry? And just give me a little bit of latitude here. I'm going to give you a little bit of background in the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus, and I hope it'll bless you when you think about the priestly ministry and what all went on with that. Of course, as you study your Bible, the priest, if you were from the tribe of Judah, you were excluded. If you were from Issachar, it didn't matter if you wanted to be a priest or not. The priest had to come through the lineage of Levi. They had to come through that tribe. You say, well, that wasn't fair. We got to take it up with God. God's the one to set this thing up. He said the priest had got to come through that tribe of Levi. Now, the priest had many duties, such as burning incense, such as trimming the lamps there in the tabernacle, eventually in the temple, the placing of the showbread, providing sacrificial offerings, which we'll look at some of that tonight, inspecting unclean people like lepers. Remember when Jesus healed those 10, who did he say, go show yourself to? Unto the priest. It was their job to look at those, and that's some of the duties of the priest. They instructed people in the laws of God, and also they oversaw the spiritual welfare of the people. And priests had personal obligations. There were some obligations that personally they had to, like, not everybody that came through the tribe of Levi could be a priest, because there were some personal obligations that God mandated, that God put out. And notice what the Bible said in Leviticus 10 in verse number 9, the priest could not consume strong drink. What's that? Alcoholic beverages. They had to be right soberly. Amen. How you know that? Leviticus chapter 10, verse number 9, do not drink wine or strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It should be a statute forever throughout your generations. God said, don't do that. Somebody said, preach what you think about alcohol. I think the same way God does. The Bible said, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is unwise. Proverbs 20 and verse number 1. Why is that? Well, let me just ask you this. What if you're sipping on that wine or on that alcoholic beverage and it alters your mind, and of course you can't think straight. Somebody called and said, hey, I need you to pray. You can't pray because you can't even think right. You can't drive because you can't drive right. Yeah, man. And that's just after the fact, not to mention God said don't do it. But understand, in the priestly ministry, they could not consume strong drink. There was a penalty that came along with that. If you do it, Brother Howard, you're going to die. That's what God said. Now, these are obligations of the priest. Now, this is a crowd from the tribe of Levi. Now, you just stay with me. I'm going somewhere tonight. We understand that they could not consume strong drink. They had to be right soberly. Not only that, they must not shave their heads. Man, I'd be out. Corner their beards, and they could not have tattoos. They had to be right socially. How do you know? Couldn't shave their head. We understand they couldn't have the corner of their beards, and they could not have tattoos. Why is it? The Bible says, Leviticus 21 and verse 5, they shall not make baldness upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh. They couldn't be marked up. They couldn't be bald-headed. They could not do that and perform the office of the priest. Somebody said, well, now that's sort of discriminatory. Again, you've got to take that up with God. God had precise orders for the priest. They had to be right soberly. They could not consume strong drink. They had to be right socially. They couldn't have shaved heads or the corner of their beards, and they couldn't have tattoos. But get this, they must marry a virgin of the tribe of Levi. They had to be right not only soberly and socially, they had to be right romantically. They couldn't just marry, let's say one of those guys that he's, man, I'm going to be a priest, and he's seen that beautiful girl from Issachar or the beautiful one from Manasseh. Boy, I got to have, no, that wasn't a possibility. In order for them to be in the priestly ministry, they had to marry a virgin from the tribe of Levi, Leviticus 21 verse 14. A widow or a divorced woman or profane or an harlot, these shall he not take, but he shall take a virgin of his own people to wife. Who's his own people? That's the tribe of Levi. So he had to be right soberly, had to be right socially, had to be right romantically, but then he also had to be right physically. If he had any defects at all, Brother Lynn, you'd never make it, my friend. Must not have physical defects or blemishes. Leviticus 21 and verse 21 said, no man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron the priest shall come nigh to the offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish, he shall not come to offer the bread of his God. Issues, and it covers it over there in the law, such as blindness, excluded. Such as being lame, excluded. Facial defects, a broken foot or hand, a crooked back, a dwarf, it even said, eye injury, skin disease, scabbed over areas. Men with these issues from the tribe of Levi were not permitted to carry out the priestly ministry. Why is that? Priests, just like the sacrificial animals that they offered, had to be without blemish and without spot. And God's the one that laid that. And I'm going somewhere with it because I'm glad we've got a high priest that went into the heavenlies that was perfect. Because there wasn't a man of the tribe of Levi that was completely squeaky clean. But understand, they had to be right soberly. They had to be right socially. They had to be right romantically. And they had to be right physically. Think about this when Exodus 29 and verse number 20 talks about their cleansing. Before they could go in, they had to be ceremonially clean. Before they could offer, Brother Harold, a sacrifice for the people of Israel, they had to offer a sacrifice for themselves to be clean, to perform the ministry of the priest. Exodus 29, verse 20, I love the way this lays it out. Exodus 29, 20, then shalt thou kill the ram, take of his blood, and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe, that's the big toe, of the right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about them. Now, what all that mean? Now, that's in reference to the priestly ministry. They were to put that blood on the right ear, on their right thumb, and on their right big toe on that side. Why was that? Well, think about those areas. You got your ears, has to do with listening. In order for their hearing to be right, the blood had to be applied. In order for them to listen to God's word, their thumb had to do with laboring in God's work. That's what the priests would do. It had to be cleansed. Also leading in God's way, their big toe had to be consecrated. It had to be clean in order for them to do that. And notice it was blood. A lot of folks make a much about blood. Well, I don't see what the big deal about blood is. Well, I tell you, it makes all the difference in the world. By the time we get done, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we just sung about the crucified one and all of that. Jesus was crucified. It was His blood that set me free. It was His blood that set you free. That's why that grace is extended to whosoever will. We don't deserve it, but God made a way. I'm telling you, since the fall of man on Genesis chapter number 3, it seemed like man was doomed and damned to a place called hell. But God, even before mankind even fell, He didn't have to search through heaven to find a Savior. There was only one that was able to go. And I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Yes, sir, I will go down there and I will give my life that they could be set free from sin." And He willfully, voluntarily laid down His life, shed, not spilled. Spilled is an accident. There's no accidents at Calvary, friend. I'm glad His blood was shed so you and I could be set free. And that blood of the priest would cover their ears, would cover their thumbs, would cover their big toe. And it has to do with the listening, has to do with the laboring, has to do with the leading. In order for them to be right, the blood had to be applied. In order for us to be all that God wants us to be, the blood must be applied. Now, only the priest could fulfill their duties to be consecrated by the only way they could fulfill their duties was to be consecrated by the blood. It must be applied. And I just want you to think for just a moment, and then I'm going over here somewhere else to another passage. And just by way of introduction, the message itself won't be that long, I don't believe. But think about the Levitical priesthood. When I say the Levitical priesthood, it's what I sort of just laid out a minute ago. The Levitical, of course, the book of Leviticus laid out the laws concerning the priest. They had to be right soberly, socially, romantically, physically. They had to cover all that stuff. The blood had to be applied to the right ear, the right thumb, the great big toe on the right side in order for them to fulfill the ministry and the duties of the priestly office. But think about the differences now between the Levitical, or if I could say the earthly priest, and the Lord Jesus Christ and His priesthood. He's referred to here in Hebrews chapter number 4, rightfully so, as our great high priest that's at the right hand of the Father. Numerous texts lets us know that's where He is today, making intercession for us as a priest would do. But think about the differences now between the Levitical or earthly priesthood and the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the book of Hebrews is the book of better things. When you think about this, the Levitical priests were sinful. Now, you can see what I've already showed you. They had to be right socially, soberly, romantically, physically, yet they were still sinful people. How do you know? Well, in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 7, the Bible said, "But into the second went the high priest alone every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people." Now, what he's talking about there in verse number 7, when he went into the second. You see, when you look at the tabernacle, if I could lay out a description tonight, if you would come through the gate, you'd run right smack dab into the brazen altar. That's where the sacrifice was made. That was called the outer court. You would walk through, and before you got into the holy place and went in there, there would be something called the brazen laver. That's where they were to wash and to get clean. And of course, they could see their reflection in that water. Then they would go into what was called the holy place. And that holy place, of course, would be there in the inner court. And as they would go in, they would be the table of showbread on one side. And, of course, the golden candlestick on the other side. And, of course, the altar of incense would be right there before the veil. And then there was a great veil that separated the holy place from the holiest of holies. Only the high priest could go into the holiest of holies. One time a year on the Day of Atonement, he could go in and provide that sacrifice, because in the holiest of holies, that's where the ark was. That's where the mercy seat was. That's where those two cherubim stood. And the mercy seat in the middle, that's where the blood would be sprinkled. Boy, God would see that blood, and the blood certainly would be applied to the individuals. And the priest had to go in every year and do that. When he said when he went into the second, that's referring unto the holiest of holies. But notice, he didn't go in there without blood. If he went in there without blood, man, he'd have been dead. He went in with blood, not just for the people, but the Bible said for himself. Why did he need it for himself? Because the priests were sinful. But you see, the blood applied canceled all that out. Now, the difference in the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't have to have a blood of a heifer. He didn't have to have a turtle dove. He didn't have to have the finest of the fine of those red heifers that didn't have any blemishes at all. No, he provided himself, and only he could do that because he's the only one that's perfect. Now, all of us have met some folks that thought they were perfect down here, but they're not. There was only one, and his name was the Lord Jesus Christ. But the difference between the Levitical and the earthly ministry, when they went in behind the veil, they had to go in with blood. But the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, listen. Now, think about that song, "It Is Finished." It didn't say he was finished. It said, "It is finished." In other words, the redemption's plan was complete when he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. The Bible said that the veil, what veil? That veil in between the holy place and the holy of holies. Only the priest could go in there. But when Jesus gave his life for you and I, the Bible said it wasn't rent from the bottom to the top. It was rent from the top to the bottom. That lets us know that man didn't have anything to do with that. This wasn't some little sheet like a curtain that we may have for a drama. Man, this thing was about 2 feet thick, and man, it was ripped from the top to the bottom. In other words, providing access for whosoever will into the holiest of holies. Well, how in the world did he do that? He did it by himself. For the Bible said this, verse 14 of Hebrews 9, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Think about it for a minute. The Levitical priesthood and the earthly ministry, they had to go in carrying blood for themselves and for the sins of the people. But the Lord Jesus Christ didn't need that. He went into the holiest of holies in the throne room of heaven, there at the mercy seat, presented his own blood because he was perfect. He was without spot. There's a great difference between Jesus' ministry and the Levitical ministry. Think about this. Think about the Levitical priests. They offered animals. They offered animal sacrifices. How do you know that? Well, the Bible tells us here in Hebrews 9, verse number 12, where it says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." So, he didn't have to have calves and goats, but that's what the earthly priest, the Levitical priest, did. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4 said this, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins." But that's what they offered. It was a foreshadowing in the Old Testament, looking forward to Calvary when the Lamb of God would come and give his life for the sins of all Old Testament people, all New Testament people, everybody in between. I'm glad it was sufficient. It was enough, still enough today to save anybody. But the Levitical priests, they offered animals. Lord Jesus offered himself. I just read that a second ago in Hebrews 9 and verse 12. "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Bottom line is this, the Levitical and the earthly priest, all they had to offer was bulls and goats and heifers. The difference between the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't offer none of that. He offered himself. All these build upon the same principles, but you just get this. The Levitical priest also, they had to continually sacrifice. Continually. All the time. They had to go in and perform these sacrifices for the people. This is a great difference, too, between them and the Lord Jesus. Hebrews 9 and verse 25. "Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others." That's one thing about you come through those priests that were right soberly, socially, romantically, physically. They come through, they're consecrated with the blood on the right ear, the right thumb, the right great big toe. They go in, they take the blood of others, and they go in there, and they do it continually. Every year, it had to be done. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifice which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect." So we know according to the Word of God, year by year, they're continually making sacrifices. What's the difference in them and the Lord Jesus? You know the answer. Christ offered himself one time, and that was it. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 25. As we read that verse again, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. One time. There's no other sacrifice available for sin outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. Once and for all. I mean, the priests, they had to march in every year. It was a continual thing they had to do. But one time, it was enough. It was sufficient. And His grace has been extended to whosoever will. Those are some differences. But think about this. The Holy of Holies was closed to all but the high priest. Only the high priest could go on the Day of Atonement behind that. Because again, I read it earlier, but Hebrews 9:7. But into the second, again, that's the holiest of holies, went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. You see, the holiest of holies was closed as the priest would go in. What's the difference in that and Christ's priesthood? Well, think about this. The holiest of holies was opened to whosoever will. Get that now. When he provided his sacrifice, now you don't have to go and talk, as I say often, you don't have to go talk that knot head through a knot hole, man. You go straight to the throne room of God because he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. He provided a way. That's why the veil was rent from the top to the bottom. It was closed off. Only the high priest, the Levitical system, could go in. But now I'm thankful for that song, I can go in. You know why you and I can go in? Because once and for all, he paid the penalty. He paid that sin debt. He was that substitute sacrifice for sinners on that day. And he didn't close the holiest of holies. Thank God he opened it for me and for you and everybody else. It'll say yes to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 19 puts it this way. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. What's it talking about? Hey, that Holy of Holies ain't closed anymore, man. He's provided access. Verse number 20 of Hebrews 10. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. That sacrifice that he performed for you and I. But think about this, and I love it when I got to thinking about this again. You know, the Levitical priest, as they would go in, they were constantly on the move. They had to do that all the time to go and perform these sacrifices. But you always see them going and moving about. They're always standing because the work of atonement was ongoing. Every year, Brother Harold, they had to go in. They're always on the move. And how do you know that? Well, in chapter number 10 of Hebrews, verse number 11, the Bible said, and every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. That's what the earthly priesthood would do. That's what the Levitical priesthood would do. Every day they're standing and they're doing this, that, and the other. What's the difference between them and the Lord Jesus? Well, he sat down. Well, look at verse number 12, the very next verse. But this man, of course, a reference to Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. You know what? When you're working most time, and I know there's some may have office jobs, maybe you sit, but a lot of folks, when they're working, they're out and about, and they're standing around, Brother Howard, and they're doing work. They're going from point A, and they're going from point B. And they're doing this, and they're doing that. And Brother James, I know you're on the go, and Brother Allen's on the go. When y'all doing garage doors and different things, you're always standing. But when you get done, it's good to sit down. Good to sit down. Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life, the Bible said he sat down. You know why? It's done. It's done. All the other religions in the world, we hit the Catholics. What was talking about the Catholics a while ago? The Mormons, all that crowd. Jehovah's false witness, you know what they do? They base everything they do off of good works. Look at what I do. Look at what I do. Look at what I do. Friend, if you base it on what you do, you'll go to hell. I can tell you that. But it ain't about what you do, but it's about what he's done, past tense. It's already been done. And he sat down. What a difference there is between the Levitical system and the earthly priestly ministry and the Lord Jesus Christ. They're constantly moving around doing and doing and doing because they were told to do that. But when Jesus did it, he sat down. Work being done. Now, I want you to think about this for just a minute. Here it is. Think about the differences between the Levitical earthly priestly ministry and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, again, we talk about blood. I do not mind preaching on the blood because it is still the blood. You can call it slaughterhouse religion. You can call it old-fashioned. You can call it whatever you want to, but it's Bible, and that's what it takes for a sinner to get saved is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. God hadn't changed his mind on that subject, but the Bible lets us know in 1 Corinthians 5, in verse number 7, for even our Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. There's a lot of benefits to his priestly ministry. There's a lot of Bible words that are found in the Bible that are tied to his sacrifice on the cross. We think about words that we don't use very often in our English vocabulary, word like propitiation. I mean, that's a big Bible doctrine word. We don't use that much. But really, a great definition of propitiation is that sacrificial sacrifice or substitutionary sacrifice for sinners on the cross. That's basically what propitiation means. But I'm thankful for propitiation. It's a Bible word, and it puts it this way in Romans 3 in verse number 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Now get it, all these words are connected. I'm talking about Bible doctrine word. If you want propitiation, you want that substitute, you want that sacrifice for sinners like yourself, man, it came through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:25 again, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. That word remission has to do with forgiveness. Apart from the blood of Christ, there is no forgiveness of sins. We think about propitiation. The blood is forever linked to that word. The sacrifice that Jesus made, being our high priest. He didn't offer a calf. He didn't offer a goat. He offered himself on the cross, providing propitiation for you and I. What about justification? Somebody used that. I remember as a little child, somebody brought that up and said, just as if I never sinned. And that's right. When it comes to our relationship with God, God don't look at what I've done. When I put my faith in him, thank God it washed away my sin. God don't see me for who I was. He sees who I am in Christ. And thank God it is. And although the accuser of our brethren day and night, according to the book of Revelation chapter number 12, accuses our, and he's right about every stinking one of them, but I'm glad we got our elder brother. I'm talking about the kinsman redeemer. That's there, our defense attorney. That's never lost a case. An advocate with the Father. A mediator with the Father pleading our case. He's never lost a battle. He ain't going to lose my case. He won't lose your case either. And we are justified just as if we never sinned. But you know what that's based on? It's based on the blood. How you know justification? Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. What about sanctification? That's to be set apart. That word sanctification literally means to be set apart for the master's use. According to Romans chapter number 8, about verse number 30, we're to be conformed to the image of his dear son. That's what God wants us to be. And every day, that's why 2 Peter 3:18 is still in the Bible. We're to grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're to grow day by day to be set apart. Now, justification is instantaneous. The moment you receive Christ, you ask Jesus to save your soul, you're saved, you're justified. But that sanctification is a process day by day of God knocking off those rough edges and making us more and more like Christ. Well, what's that based upon? Same thing that propitiation was. Same thing that justification was. Sanctification is based upon the blood of the Lord Jesus. Hebrews 13 and verse number 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. What gate? The gate of Jerusalem. Well, there's a message in and of that self, of itself. But just get it. Propitiation, justification, sanctification. All that is based upon blood of our high priest. What about reconciliation? To be reconciled. To be reconciled means at some point there was some enmity, there was some alienation, but something happened that provided reconciliation. You know what it's based upon in the Bible? Blood. Amen. You know how we were reconciled to God? We were alienated from God. We were away from the commonwealth of Israel. Ain't none of us Jews. And we're Gentiles, man, lost and condemned to a devil's hell. And we were enemies to God, yet Jesus made a way. The Bible said in Ephesians 2 and verse number 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh, or in other words, we're made near and close by the blood of Christ. That's reconciliation. You can't separate the blood of Christ from propitiation and still have it. You can't separate blood from justification and still have it. You can't separate blood from sanctification or reconciliation and still have it. But think about redemption. What is our redemption based upon? You know the answer. It's based on the blood of the Lord Jesus. And Ephesians 1 and verse number 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Everything, every Bible doctrine that you see is linked to that sacrificial blood that Jesus shed. Here we are on the week of Easter. This coming weekend we commemorate that yes, He died. And He shed that blood that we could be saved. But Brother Randy had been all in vain if he had stayed in that tomb. Oh, but glory to God, he didn't stay in that tomb. He got up. And the Bible calls him in Hebrews chapter 4 a great high priest that has ascended into the heavens. He sat down. And that's why, and he's you know, you think about our infirmities. He's, notice what your Bible said again there in Hebrews chapter 4, the same text that I read earlier. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Why is that important to me? Well, he's in the right hand. He's the right hand of the Father, making intercession. He sat down over there. The redemption's plan is done. But we can come with boldness of whatever our need is. We talk about prayer a lot. Why? How do I know? Can I have confidence in God? Sure, you can have confidence in Him because He's there. And the Bible said, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, I think about this as Sister Savannah comes. I'm glad I didn't live in Old Testament days. I'm glad God allowed me to live on a new on this side of the cross, Brother Harold. I'm glad I didn't have to depend on a priest. I'm talking about a Levitical priest, an earthly priest, to go in behind the veil and sprinkle some blood, to put it on credit, waiting for the day of Jesus to die on the cross. We look back today, we say, boy, thank God we got a great high priest, man, that sat down when the work was done. I can pray because He's there. I can be saved because He's there. I'm going to heaven one day because He's our great high priest. I think about this week, this Passion Week. We got a lot to be thankful for. Man, if you're saved, you got so much to be thankful for. If you're not saved, you ought to be thankful. You got another opportunity tonight to receive the greatest gift mankind has ever known. I've used this for years. I'll use it again. If I could write you a check, which I cannot do, I could write you a check for $1 million and say, hey, all you got to do is come get it. How many people would walk away and say, nah, I'm doing pretty good, preacher. Well, even $1,000, who would walk away from $1,000? All you got to do is come get it. Just receive it. No strings attached. You just come get it, receive it, and it's yours. How many would walk away? Tell you something more tragic than that. Jesus said, I'll forgive you. My sacrifice was more than enough. You don't have to go get a goat. You don't have to go get a bull. Once and for all. Don't have to do it anymore. You just come receive me by faith, and all your sins have been forgiven. You can go to a place called heaven, you'll miss out on hell. You can go to a place called heaven by simply trusting Christ today. How many walk away and say no thank you to that? Well, one day, preacher, one day, well, this might be the last day. But I'm here to tell you tonight, thank God for our high priest. There is a... Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat-and-meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement, they seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday, for the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God." Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16 it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them, if you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sins. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.